Hi, I'm James Dobson. Our program, Focus on the Family, is being devoted today to the frustrations of parenthood, especially where young children are involved. We'll be discussing postpartum depression and some of the challenges mothers commonly experience when they still have preschoolers at home.
We're going to talk about a letter recently received by Dr. Dobson. In fact, I'd like to just begin by reading it, if that's all right, and then I'll ask you to respond, Doctor.
Good place to begin.
It goes like this. I would enjoy more programs about women and their role in the family. So far, the first 6 months of taking care of our son has been very challenging to me. At times, I feel like I can't quite handle it, though. I have a profession, but I'm choosing not to work because I want to raise our children. Any encouragement in this area would be most helpful.
Gil, there's some messages to families that I'd like to put in mile-high neon lights across the sky, and this letter deals with one of those extremely important matters, and this is it. Prospective parents, and especially mothers, are usually not prepared for some of the frustrations that almost inevitably come with the arrival of a new baby. You know, getting pregnant is often such a happy occasion, and a girl may begin anticipating that big event with such excitement and enthusiasm, and everybody is congratulating her, and there's such excitement within the family, especially if it's a first child. And in a way, a young girl may see motherhood much like playing house. You know, it just sounds like so much fun to handle this baby who in some ways is almost a toy or a doll. But she's totally unprepared for the realities of raising a family. I think we experienced this with our first child, to be quite honest. We'd been married 5 years. We were equipped. We were ready. We had a nursery. We had all of the equipment that we needed in the nursery. We had a stable marriage. Financially, we were able to handle it. We were totally, totally ready for that baby. We had two grandmothers waiting in the wings to help Shirley. Everything's ready to go. Danae was born, and we went all to pieces. Everything went wrong. Shirley had a bad headache for 2 weeks. And it made her nervous to have anybody in the house. And Shirley's mother got the flu, and that wiped her out. And, you know, the baby didn't sleep at night. And it is just very difficult to handle the adjustment that occurs after the arrival of a baby, especially since a woman will look forward to that time for 9 months. You know, 8 more months to go, and 6 more months, and 3 more months, and 2. And the 9th month is a month of discomfort, and it's almost here, 3, 2, 1 week. And any day now, and the baby's born. And the first thing a mother observes is that this is not the end. This is the beginning.
Right.
And that can be kind of upsetting. And I think the mother who wrote this letter is going through a little bit of that.
Okay, I have a sneaking suspicion that you have just defined postpartum depression, although I must say I would have been hard-pressed to define it myself before hearing that. Is that what we're talking about?
That's right, Gil, and it is a reality, especially for the mother who's going through it. For some women, life can slowly disintegrate right before their eyes.
Is this area of depression and struggle for a woman, is this a physical problem, or are we talking about an emotional problem?
It can be either, Gil, or it probably could be both. I'm convinced that for many women, postpartum depression results from a hormonal fluctuation within the body. Because a woman is undergoing dramatic changes from a pregnant condition to a non-pregnant state. And this involves a sweeping hormonal alteration, involves a change in the whole body.
And I suppose it goes without saying that seeing a competent medical physician is all a part of what we're talking about.
Yes, if a husband will say sees his wife really struggling at that point, he really should be the one to take the initiative to find a physician that'll understand that kind of problem, hopefully a gynecologist.
All right, now we've been talking about physical causes of postpartum depression, but you've already referred to the emotional, and there are those kinds of causes as well, right?
Yes, in fact, I would suspect that the lady who wrote the letter that started us into this discussion is probably dealing with emotional factors related to the birth of her child. She's 6 months down the road from the birth of that child, and it's probably emotional. I thought it would be helpful, Gil, if I would list some of those emotional possibilities, some of those things that can cause postpartum depression. And I just scratched these down the other day, and this is not an exhaustive list. It's not all of them, but I think you'll get the point very quickly. Okay, postpartum depression may result from diminished expectations. Mm. You know, parenthood is not what you expected. It's not what you really thought it was going to be. It's turning out differently than you anticipated. Maybe the child that you gave birth to doesn't look like you wanted him to look. I heard somebody say the other day, it was a great shock to him to go into the room where all the babies are kept in a maternity ward, and looking through the glass and realizing his child was the only one that didn't have a round head. You know, some people get very frustrated over the fact that the child is not as physically attractive as they had anticipated. They expected a Gerber baby, and they hand them that red, wrinkled up, toothless, bald, scrunched up little fellow, and some people get depressed over that. Maybe the child's of the wrong sex. Maybe you got three boys and you were hoping for a girl and you got another boy.
That's a very real problem.
That'd depress anybody, I imagine. Maybe the child doesn't sleep. Maybe it keeps you up all night, leading to absolute exhaustion. And depression and fatigue go hand in hand. Maybe there are medical problems causing both the mother and the child problems, or either one problems. And you can get very depressed over physical problems, of course. Maybe the child cries incessantly. You know, that can be extremely frustrating. Or visitors never stop coming. I think one of the most foolish customs we have in this society is for all the friends to come piling in on the new mother in the first week when she is still debilitated and still fatigued from the birth, and she's up half the night, and then here come in the afternoon during nap time when she should be able to rebuild. Here come all of the well-meaning people. And I put a sign on our door, and I said, I appreciate your coming, but my wife has a headache, and she really doesn't feel well, and we would like you to come back in a week or two. I probably made some people angry, but I felt I needed to defend my wife at that moment. Fears of maternal inadequacy can depress a mother. You know, I don't know how to handle this child. I don't even know him. He's there, he's mine, but I'm not acquainted with him. How will I change his diapers? How will I discipline? How will I train and guide? There's a lot of fear and depression growing out of that.
And it's not just the individual items. It's the cumulative feeling that this whole thing, I can't keep up with it.
Oh, yes, and it's the awareness, maybe for the first time, Gil, that you have a lifetime commitment to that individual. Mm-hmm. You thought it was just the birth of the child, but you've got at least 20 years where he's your responsibility, and that can be scary. I've already mentioned the letdown after waiting for 9 months and then having it all over and the new responsibility starting. Sometimes the father feels competitive with the child, and it's taking too much of the mother's time. He may resent the child breastfeeding and the sexual implications of that, and a mother realizes that there's a tug of war going on here and that the husband is not really on board. He's not really supporting her as he ought to. The hormonal maladjustment that I've already talked about. The child may have colic. Boy, how frustrating can it be after every meal to have him double up and scream and cry and you walk the floor with this youngster. The forfeiture of a career, realizing that, yes, we wanted children, but in a way I also wanted to continue what I was doing, and now I've got this responsibility at home, and the many women are torn between those two objectives and those two desires. Sexual relations between the parents may be weakened during that time because of fatigue or physical problems, other psychological factors. Sometimes the mother feels abandoned by the husband during this time. He's off going to work. He gets to get out. Mm-hmm. He gets to go see other people. I'm here all the time by
feeling
myself.
Feeling sick, feeling bad.
Oh,
no
yeah.
Social life.
Listen to that screaming kid in there with his rubber teeth. older siblings sometimes feel threatened and they begin to act out, and their behavior has never been as disruptive as it is when the little child comes home and you most need them to cooperate. Here's one that's amazing, but it actually happens, is that other mothers sometimes feel competitive with you or with the mother and that new child.
How do they show that?
They show it through slight little rejection, little comments about the physical characteristics of the child. Through some really sneaky kinds of low blows that can occur. Only a mother who has experienced this will believe what I'm saying at this moment and admit it, but it does occur because this is another area of competition, and sometimes that competition gives way to rejection and some very strong feeling between new mothers, especially perhaps a mother who became a mother just a short time ago. And her child is not perhaps getting the attention she would like him to, and she may resent what's happening with another mother. It's very hard for me to put that in words, but there is something there, and I've seen it develop, and I bet you our listeners have too. It's a 24-hour-a-day job, which can be depressing. In other words, there's no escape. No escape. All day, all night. You might grab a few hours sleep in between, But in the beginning, it is servitude. And believe me, that can be depressing. There's a great deal of guilt associated with parenthood right from the beginning. I'm not doing the job right. I can't do the job right. I'm not qualified for the job. I'm making mistakes. I didn't deserve the child.
I'm not as patient as I ought to be.
Or I dealt with one mother who had not taken care of herself during her pregnancy, and her child was born with a congenital malformation. And she was crushed with guilt because she felt, and she may have been right, that she just caused that problem. And the contemplation of surgery and all the rest in that little child was her fault. You know, we are so vulnerable, Gil. When a new child is born, you'll never be as vulnerable as you are in that moment to all these sources of agitation. Realization of the cost of parenthood, financially and otherwise, what this is going to do to the family.
Especially if it's a multiple birth.
Oh, man, yes. And the cost there is not just financial, but emotional, physical, and every other kind. Mm-hmm. And then finally, final only because I stopped the list at this point, there are a lot more. And that's, for some women, of course, there's the resentment of an accidental pregnancy. They didn't really want that child, and they've got him. And now all of these feelings are going on round and round in the head, and it was not something designed. Now, I took about 3 or 4 minutes to write that list down. I could double it, probably.
That's an incredible list. It makes me think that in your practice of family counseling, you must have been approached by women who are absolutely just going through the throes of utter misery.
Yes, except, Gil, they don't have time to come get help at a time like that. They can't get out of the house. You know, they can't go see somebody because they're nursing or they're getting up at all hours of the night, and many of them just suffer in silence at that time.
Hmm.
When the baby is a little older, say at 6 months of age, is when you start to hear about it and see it. I had a woman wrote me a letter a while back who had, I think, a five-month-old son and an older child. She wrote me from a Holiday Inn, and in fact, I included the letter in my book, The Strong-Willed Child, which I have in front of me, and it illustrates exactly what I'm talking about. Let me read it to you. She said, "Dear Dr. Dobson, I'm writing you from this motel because I've run away from my loving husband, my 6-year-old daughter, Annie, and my son, Polly." I'm sure you'd know that the names have been changed. My little girl is a beautiful blonde with blue eyes, but she throws temper tantrums and irritates me to the breaking point. My son seems to cry 24 hours a day. I need one uninterrupted night's sleep so badly. I've tried so hard to be a good mother and wife. Listen to the frustration and the agitation here. A good neighbor and a Christian daughter. I've wanted to meet my responsibilities to my family, but I'm completely exhausted. I became a monster this last week. I hit my daughter across the face, bruised her arm from shaking her so hard, yelled and screamed and cried, and then wanted to die from guilt. I've come here to this Holiday Inn to try to get a hold of what's left of me, but I really don't think I can. I feel my prayers take too long to be answered, or else I don't recognize the answers when they come. And when I'm home, there's not enough time to even brush my teeth, let alone pray about Annie's behavior and my inferiority as a parent. If I spank her, she retorts, that didn't even hurt, or she scratches and kicks and pulls my hair. Yet when I left her last night, she sobbed for me not to go, despite my reassuring her that I would come back. We spent $100 last month to take 4 counseling sessions on parenting techniques. Well, some of it works, but some of it is too far removed from my child's misbehavior to do any good. Annie was hostile and aggressive even before Polly arrived. I can't help wanting to get away from her. She spent a week with Grandma and went to Disneyland lately. I really felt guilty because I hardly missed her. I just talked with my husband on the telephone, and he said Annie was having a temper tantrum. She wants to go and find me, and I don't even want to go home. I adore my husband. I've had little chance to show him how much, and I've been blessed with a daughter and a son, both of whom I've always wanted to have. The problem now is that I can't handle the routine panic of our lives. Next Thursday will be my 28th birthday. Please help me."
That is just absolutely beyond words.
And Gil, the sad thing is she wrote me from the Holiday Inn, and she didn't include a return address. and I couldn't even contact her.
Mm.
You can see how a woman reaching that point of frustration could be pushed just over the line into child abuse, into suicide, into alcoholism, into any number of avenues, all of which would be devastating.
Well, we started out talking about postpartum depression just after the arrival of a new child, and we've broadened slightly. But what can be offered in the way of hope for digging out of this pit?
Well, if I could see this woman in my office, Gil, I think I could probably help her a great deal. There are some concrete steps that she could take to help her child, to bring that little youngster, the six-year-old, under control. And we've discussed many of those issues on this program, even in the last few months. But also, this mother needs somebody to say, this is what she's desperately in need of. She needs somebody to say, I understand. It is a tough time to be raising a child. She needs to hear this program, in effect. And someone ought to be able to tell her that she's not the only one that's going through this, that thousands of others have been right where she is today. In fact, thousands of others are right where she is today. Gil, I spoke to 3,000 people last weekend, and I gave a little survey on the strong-willed child to that group, and I haven't finished tabulating all of the results. But one of the items dealt with how they have felt about parenthood, and only 6% of that group, 6% of the ones I've tabulated so far, said that it was a completely positive experience. And nearly 40%, 37% of the amount that I've tabulated so far said it has been a struggle that has often left me depressed, guilt-ridden, and exhausted. We need to admit that side of it. There are ways to mitigate, to lessen, to ameliorate those feelings and those consequences. But I think it's important to help new parents brace for it as well, so that they're not surprised when they go through some internal struggles.
And you know, it wouldn't hurt one bit if a woman going through these depressed days could feel the significance of what it means to be a child bearer, one who brings into the world a new life.
Yes, because that concept is being contradicted throughout our society today. I'd like to say to every mother out there who feels the way we have been describing today, she's going through it right now, that the job she's doing is the most important job in the universe, that there could hardly be anything more important than taking human lives who will live someplace in eternity. We'll live forever. We'll have an opportunity to influence the world around them, to build in those values and shape those attitudes and do the job of preparing them for a life of service to their fellow man and to God. That's a fantastic opportunity. And I think it's a great mistake for us to denigrate the role of motherhood and to treat mothers as unfortunate victims who have happened to get saddled with a losing proposition.
Yeah, a temporary interruption in what would otherwise be a successful career-building enterprise.
Yes.
Let's close with a comment to husbands.
And how about six of them?
Okay.
I scratched down just a few minutes ago six comments I'd like to make to husbands. We have to do it in about 1 minute, so here they are. They're coming fast. Number one, let your wives get away one day a week. I don't know whether you as a husband have to take her job there at home or whether you're going to hire it done, but get her out of that house one day a week. Not to go do the washing down at the local laundromat, but to get away and do something for fun one day a week. Otherwise, it's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and that'd depress anybody. That would depress me very, very quickly. Number two, husbands, reserve something of your time, effort, and energy for your wife during this time of intensive involvement with an infant. Number three, and along the same line, keep the romantic fires alive in the family. Not just be home and with her, but do things that say, you're important. What you're doing is as important as what I'm doing. I love you. I need you. I appreciate you. Number four, help her discipline and train and guide, especially where you have older siblings involved in resentment and all the things that a new baby can bring up. You got to take up the slack for her. She's been reading stories to the kids. She can no longer do it. You've got to do it. Get in and pitch and help. Number five, let your wife talk about her frustrations during this time. Don't shut her off and say, I don't know why you're acting this way. We've got a healthy child. Why should you be in such a bad mood? You are her safety valve. Let her blow off steam. Let her say just what she wants to and accept it. You don't even have to solve the problems. Just listen with warmth and acceptance, and it will help her. And number six, especially during this time, keep the spiritual tone of your home somewhere near the right note, because you both need the involvement of God at a time like that.